Hello to Balagan listeners. It took me a while to respond to what is happening in Israel. I gotta say, as an Israeli, I was heartbroken. What happened, on Saturday, on what we can call the Black Sabbath, on October 7th, 2023, is insane. There is no other way to describe it. It was an act of terror that Hamas did against the state of Israel and its people. More than 1,400 people died, massacred, mutilated, raped. If you're following social media, especially the toxic ones like Twitter or Telegram, you've probably witnessed the most horrific videos, I will say. And if you're on Facebook or Instagram and you have Israeli friends or Jewish friends, you could probably see, I would say, the more censored visions that were still horrifying. When we look at the massacre Hamas did, there is no way to justify this terror attack. While with more than 1,400 people dead, 3,000 people injured, and 200 people taking hostages, among them babies, a 12-year-old girl with severe disability, elders, and many who are wounded. There is nothing, connected to freedom fighters when they slaughter babies, children, and women, and, innocent civilians, massacring people in a nature party, murdering more than 250 in this party alone, executing whole families, burning people alive in their cars and homes, molesting women and mutilating victims. That has nothing to do with freedom fighting. This is pure evil. This is pure act of terror. Hamas hijacked more than 200 people and that are being kept hostage when nobody outside of Hamas knows where they are. What is their condition? Are they alive? Are they hurt? Are they being treated and how? And that is when Hamas terrorists, who are injured, by the way, are actually being treated in Israeli hospitals. So you can say a lot, you can say whatever you want about the occupation and how Israel is mistreating the Palestinians or whatever. But Israel, at least first thing, let people know what's happening with its, I would say, people that she arrests, and Palestinians know what is the status of terrorists being, jailed imprisoned in Israel. And that is something that we cannot tell about our civilians and soldiers who were hijacked and taken hostage on that Saturday. I'm here and try and shed light on what had happened on this Black Sabbath, and provide some background on the Gaza Strip and the bloody history between Israel and Hamas. It will take me a couple of episodes, and I will try to upload a new episode in every couple of days. So stay tuned. And today I will just focus on what happened, on October 7th, and what is happening actually in Israeli society these days. So, there is what we already know. On Saturday of October 7th at 6:29 a.m., simultaneously with an attack of hundreds of missiles fired at Israel and under the IDF radar, more than 1,500 armed Hamas terrorists breached the wall between Gaza and Israel. In a well-planned attack, they raided 11 IDF outposts and bases, and more than 20 Israel civilian settlements, the city of Sderot, kibbutzim, moshavim, and of course the nature party called Nova, by kibbutz Re'im. All of them are located in the Gaza envelope. It's a description of the area surrounding the Gaza Strip, which is located up to approximately 6.5 miles or 10 kilometers from the border with Gaza. Hamas terrorists were well armed, crossing the wall in a well weaponized vans and motorcycles by land, motorboats by sea, and paraglides and drones by air. Hamas has been working out, planning and training this type of assault for more than a year and a half. Israel's decision makers ignored Hamas growth for many years and actually tried to buy quiet from Hamas in Gaza by letting Qatari money in, funding Hamas leadership. Eventually, it turned out to be that it's not only funding the leadership, it's actually funding, you know, I would say Hamas's army that was built up under the radar, or at least that's what we know. There are many questions that need to be asked. You know, how can it be that Hamas caught the IDF off guard and caused the most sophisticated, you know, defense in the world? That's how Israeli decision makers described the well-armed wall between the Gaza Strip and the Gaza envelope. Where was the intelligence? Israel is known to be one of the best intelligence services in the world, and apparently everything was done without us knowing about it. Why is Hamas in power after so many years? Hamas is a terror organization, but not only that, it started as a social services organization, and we're going to touch it in another episode, not today. But how can it be that after so many years that people in Gaza are living in such poverty and such horrible terms, that a lot of it is connected to the fact that Hamas is at war with Israel? Sorry, and Hamas is not only at war in Israel, Hamas is actually a jihadist organization that denies Israel's right to exist. So we cannot really have, you know, any peace treaty with them. If that was said, you know, why did Israel policies were the same they were? And did it prove itself to be successful? I can say that many thought until recently that it was. I'm quite sure that there is a big agreement today that funding Hamas was a really big mistake. Yet, having that said, I want to touch base on what's happening in Israeli society. Because what we see in Israel today is actually really moving, at least for me as an Israeli, of course. And you can say that it's a ray of light that comes from civic society in Israel. The pro-democracy protesters, you know, who used to be called anarchists and refuseniks by the coalition members, were the first ones to wear uniforms and join to the reserve units. Brothers and sisters in arms are leading the logistics of the civil support chain, providing transportation support for veterans, providing meals, clothes, and supplies to people in the attacked cities, running blood drives, and providing mental health support for people in need. Zaka, Magen David Adom, and other first responder organizations with hundreds and thousands of volunteers are raising care for the dead, working hard on identifying the mutilated bodies and treating them with dignity and honor, and also helping, you know, the hospitals to take care of all of the injured people, all of the wounded. The Israeli Arab society is proving strong solidarity with Israel. I can say, you know, if you love Nas Daily, then Nas is a Palestinian Israeli. And after this horrible massacre on Saturday, he came out with an announcement that he is Israeli first. And I will put his video in as a link in my description, because I think it's important to get his perspective, to understand how Palestinians in Israel see themselves and what a lot of them are thinking about what's happening in the Middle East. Most Israeli Arabs, even if they feel that they are, you know, mistreated, would still prefer to stay in a democratic state. And there, you know, they enjoy visiting Tel Aviv and not, you know, going to Arab countries who have no democracy, with no women rights, no LGBTQ rights, no democratic rights, you know, no minority rights. So I can really say that it's a ray of light. Israeli Arab leaders such as Mansour Abbas are speaking out loud against Hamas. We also need to remember that so far, more than 40 dead who were identified are actually, you know, Arabs, Druze, and Bedouins who either died fighting Hamas terrorists or were executed while trying to escape from Hamas's ambush. So I really hope, you know, that those things will continue after this war is ended. I gotta touch a little bit of politics and some international support, because it's important to show who's standing for whom. We talk about politics, I cannot ignore the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu is always on campaign. Instead of showing leadership, he's looking for somebody else to blame. And everything that he's doing so far is just a part of his act on how to throw the blame on somebody else. And I'm sorry that I'm saying it, but that's the truth. Only yesterday, 9 days after the attack, he met with a group, chosen people from the families of the people, the missing, who are missing, and the people who got hijacked. And in that meeting, he actually had somebody that he brought, or his people brought, to speak out in favor of Netanyahu. Now, let's say that I'm a lefty, so I'm not, you know, the biggest supporter of Netanyahu. But if people who witnessed it, like Jackie Levy, who is an, I would say, a right-winger conservative publicist in Israel, saying that, then I take his word. Five of his family members were in the party in Reim, and they still don't know if they were kidnapped by Hamas, if they are dead, and they deserve answers. Benny Gantz, who joined this emergency government that was formed only 5 days after the horrible attack, and only after Netanyahu guaranteed he's holding a majority of his loyalists in every forum, will probably end up as Netanyahu's punching bag, and will probably be the main go-to person to put the blame on. Well, President Biden had two press conferences with Q&A, had Secretary of the State Antony Blinken go to Israel. Now he's here in Israel for the second time in 10 days. You know, meeting with the families of the hostages and the missing Israelis, speaking to American Israeli families of the hostages. Thus far, Netanyahu found no time to that. Instead, he had a really long time, you know, that he found to speak to the major media outlets, not to the people, not to the, I would say, the reporters, but to their CEOs, to see how they can come up with, you know, a different type of portraying what's happening. That's insane. Even his special conference, you know, conference call on Friday night after Shabbat was an empty shell with no new information. He went to visit Be'eri, a kibbutz that lost 108 of his members that were murdered by Hamas terrorists. It was orchestrated. With a video filmed by his people with no press around him, no civilians, just a couple of, you know, military people. This is not leadership. And it's a disgrace that the state of Israel has this type of, I would say, prime minister. On the other hand, I can say that if we're talking about international support, you know, there are not enough words how I can describe President Biden. Of course, the US has its own interests as well. And the American interest is to have a deal with Saudi Arabia. And I will say that Hamas, you know, I think was trying to make a point reminding Israelis that even if they will have a deal, you know, with Saudi Arabia, they're here to stay. But if I go back to Biden, who wants this deal, Biden is a true supporter of the state of Israel. And the people of Israel should, and I believe that the majority of them are grateful for his unquestionable support of the state of Israel. Moving, you know, military support, providing, I would say, diplomatic shield for Israel's act now. I can't say enough. So on the other hand, you know, at least for people who love Donald Trump, and I know that a lot of Israelis loved him, last week Donald Trump came out with a statement, you know, how Netanyahu and our Minister of Security, Gallant, are stupid. And that because they didn't support him in real time or whatever, you know, that's a shame. That's the type of person that Donald Trump is. And I really hope that Israelis who used to adore him now see who's Israel's real ally. And if we go to, you know, other countries, I just want you guys to remember, you know, world Jewry, the US, Western governments are all standing up for Israel or with Israel. On the other hand, Vladimir Putin, Iran, and North Korea are standing up with Hamas. I think that that says, you know, that says enough for who you should stand with. And that's a final, you know, a couple of last words before I sum things up. A few words for my progressive friends. Once again, murdering, raping, mutilating, and humiliating people cannot be categorized, under freedom fighting. You can support the two-state solution and still condemn Hamas as a jihadist terrorist organization that literally said they are aiming to hurt Jews around the world. Being liberal means standing up for justice. And if you call yourself a liberal or progressive and cannot speak up against Hamas, then I'm sorry to say that you are a hypocrite. And a final note. I pray that this war will end soon. with fewer casualties for Israelis and Palestinians. I'm all pro for eliminating Hamas and wish for a day that peace will come. But sadly speaking, this cannot happen with Hamas. In the upcoming episodes, I will shed more light on the history of the Gaza Strip, Hamas's history, and the Israeli-Hamas relations. So until the next time, let's focus on freeing Gaza from Hamas, and let's pray for better days. Thank you.